Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that you brought us here today. Lord, even as we celebrate Christmas, Lord, we want to remember the things that you've done for us, oh God. And Lord, even as we want to step into the shoes of Joseph and Mary, Lord, we pray that you will give us insights, oh God, that we can learn from them and how to be a better disciple, Lord, how we can spread your message of love to others. And so tonight, Lord, even as we hear your word, we ask that we will just not be hearers, but we will also be doers of it. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we're going to go right in. As I said, as we walked through basically the Bible, all right, you find that it wasn't as happy as it was, okay? The events leading to the birth of Christ itself was actually lined with struggles. Okay, if we go to, the first one is the struggles in family, and if we look at Joseph and Mary itself. And interestingly, the Bible in Matthew 1, you know, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Okay, and it talks about the birth of Christ. And interestingly, Matthew 1 talks about from the perspective of Joseph, you know. So you find that in verse 18, okay, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, meaning before they slept together, before they were intimate together, okay, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. You know, how many of you know that is really difficult for a man, all right? You're about to get married, and you find that your fiance is pregnant. All right, so what happened was that, you know, verse 18 says basically Joseph was found out that Mary, the girl that he was going to marry, basically was pregnant, you know. And you know, in the Jewish culture, basically what the groom is the more important person, not the bride, right? And a wedding ceremony is actually a very big thing over there. You know, people actually celebrate up to about 7 days in a marriage in the Jewish culture. And so for Joseph, who is the groom, to find out that his fiance is pregnant is really embarrassing for him, right? And so that's a major disruption. We talk about disruption, all right? That's a serious disruption in his life. But as we move on, verse 19 says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. You know, Joseph is really a good man. I mean, the Bible says that he's a righteous man. You find that Joseph was really more concerned about his bride than himself. Okay, he wasn't going to shame. You know what he could have done is that this is the best way to get out. This is the best way to get out of a marriage. Okay, so I got two. Okay, so this is the best way to get out of marriage. Basically, just shame the girl, you know. Just say that, you know what? I wasn't the one who got her pregnant, but she's pregnant, you know. Time for me to find another girl. Okay? Joseph could have done that, could have shamed her and walked away. Okay? But he never did. You know, he was a righteous man. I mean, the Bible says he's a good man. All right? He's a just man, and he wanted to get out of it quietly. Okay, if you're, how many of you are single ladies here? Really up your hands, single ladies. You know, if you want to find a husband, all right, find a husband like Joseph, all right, who cares more about you than himself. Come and say amen to that, right? If you're really going to look for a husband, you're going to find somebody who cares more about you, right, than himself. You know, and how about you men? Do you know what to do? How many single men here? No? Right, you know what to do now, right? You gotta be more concerned with your bride, with your wife than yourself. You know, because you know you gotta get used to it, because there'll come a time when at 2 a.m. in the morning, when you're just about to sleep, the tire, you're gonna sleep, and then your wife says, honey, can you go down and make me a cup noodle? And then you see whether you lay your life down or not. Alright? So, be like Joseph. You know, I mean, Joseph was a just man. Okay, he cared more about his future wife than himself. All right, as we go on verse 20 then. But as he considered these things, so he was thinking to himself, he's been really concerned, you know, how am I going to get out of this? It's so embarrassing. You know, you're going to have the whole neighborhood's going to talk about it. You know, my bride is pregnant and I'm about to get, and how can this happen? It's not even me who made her pregnant. All right. And so he was considering it. So the Bible says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're in Joseph's shoes today, as you see that, as you see the dream, as you're sleeping and you're seeing that dream, you know that God speaks to us even today. How many believe that? How many believe that God speaks to us? You know, we have a living God. I mean, Jesus did not die, got buried, and that's it. You know, Jesus died and he rose again and he's in heaven today. He is a living God. You know, Jesus speaks to us. He wants us to know what's happening in our lives. And some of us are gifted to dream. I mean, you know, God speaks to us in different ways. Some of us actually do get dreams and we can get some direction of where we're going, okay? But you better test those dreams, all right? But very often, God speaks to us through his Bible, right? So, we need to read the Bible, okay? I know a lot of us, we read a lot of other things. We practically serve the whole net. Mr. Google is our favorite guy, all right? We practically read everything except the Bible. But I encourage you, all right, if you want to hear from God, you read the Bible. You read the Bible and supplement it with other things, okay? But read the Bible first, right? Because if you want to hear God, you speak to us through his Bible, okay? Because that's his word. Right, and you find that when you read the Bible, sometimes the words just jump out for you. And you think, whoa, you know, that word seems to be for me. Or, God uses people to speak to you. You know, you need to get godly counsel. All right, speak to people who would speak the truth in love to you. You don't want people, you want to go to people who just wants to fan your ego. All right, tell you all the things that you want to hear, right, but never tell you the truth. Right, go to godly people and get advice. You know, I was talking to CC. How many know CC? Dr. CC. I just really want to commend this young man. He Dr. CC in my LG group together with Freeman and Shelley and Minho and all that and Jackie, yeah. And CC is a guy, you know, he wasn't sure where he was heading. He was really lost for a while. He was trying to figure out what he wanted to do. He's a qualified doctor, okay? But he felt that his career wasn't to grow deeper. He wasn't going to get his master's and be a specialist and grow deeper as a doctor. But he felt that maybe he wants to spread his wings. He wanted to go out and do things, maybe be a doctor, businessman kind of thing, you know. But over the course of a year, I mean, he waited to hear from God. Right, he will come to me, you know what, I've got this lead, I'm going to meet this doctor is going to sell me his clinic, maybe, you know what, I can buy over the clinic, then we can do another one, I can recruit another doctor from another place, and then, you know, I can appoint her, and then I can grow this chain of clinics, and so all sorts of ideas, all right. But that guy was not in a hurry. Each time we talked, we prayed, he would listen to God, and he would test every idea to the Word of God. Until finally he found something that he thought that is really from him. Okay. Today he's starting up a new thing in wellness. And as soon as he signed up with this group, they sent him to Germany for training. You know, so it's amazing. This is a guy who was willing to listen and wait and not just rush into things. You know, so I want to encourage you all to do that. You know, just as Joseph did, God spoke to him. God will speak to all of us. All right. And so as we move on, verse 21, so the angel in the dream told him that she will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife and knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You know that? And here you find that Joseph woke up and then he obeyed. And you kind of wonder why. How a guy with a dream And he wakes up and he obeys immediately. You know, I think I have an answer for that, but we're going to wait for a while to come to that. All right, so he obeyed. All right, so now we look at Mary. Okay, this is interesting because in Luke's description of the birth of Christ, it's all about from Mary's perspective. You know, it wasn't about Joseph, but from Mary's perspective. So verse 26 says this, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Sounds like a great compliment, right? And verse 29, you know what? How did Mary react to that? She said, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. You know, Mary's a smart girl. You know, she's not going to be taken away by some good compliment and saying that this guy, you know, we got 20/20 vision because when we read the Bible, we know it was the messenger Gabriel, okay? But from Mary's perspective, he was just a guy. Just a guy who walked up to him, all right, or walked up to her and said, you know what? You are the favored one from God, you know. And she wasn't taken by that. She was saying, you know, I better discern. And I think this is something that we can learn from Mary, all right, that we don't think, because in the world there are many voices. There are many voices in this world who tell you to do many things, all right. They'll come up and they'll give you a lot of suggestions, ideas, all sorts of voices. But you've got to discern which voice is right for you. And so you need to really test the word. Okay, as we move on, so as the Bible says, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You know, just as I spoke earlier, you know, we need to discern the word, all right? We can't just take things. And interestingly is that when we read from Matthew, Joseph never asked a question. In his dream, he took everything that the angel told him, and then he went on and obeyed. Mary, being a girl, when his angel talked to her, all right, and she asked questions, because you find that in verse 34, all right, am I right? Alright, yeah, in verse 34 it says, in 31, and behold, the angel told her, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Okay, verse 34. No, I think I'm wrong. Sorry. And Mary said to the angel, okay, and Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? You know, like I said, you know, Joseph never asked question. But ladies, even if the angel talked to them, they will ask a question. You know. You know, ladies, my wife's sitting down here. You know. And so, anyway, girls are more discerning, all right? So she was concerned, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And so now we find that in verse 35, okay, an angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You know, this, when you look at it, how did Joseph obey? All right, and you find that in this verses, as we read down, you find that Mary also obeyed. Okay, you find that God spoke to two persons separately. You know, God appeared to Joseph in a dream separately, and then spoke to Mary separately. And it's kind of like this. How many of you love to go shopping? How many of you ladies love to go shopping? All right, I know my wife would love to buy diamonds. All right. Alright. How many of you love to buy diamonds? Alright, so you're walking, okay, you ladies, you're walking with your husband, you're walking in the mall, and then you see Pokong, you go to One Utama, and then you see Pokong, and then you stop by and take a look, and then your wife says, you know what? I think God is telling me to buy this. God is telling me to buy this ring, alright? Alright? And then the husband says, well, you know what? I had a dream that you were buying the diamond, but I had cold sweat. And then the wife will say, no, forget about the cold sweat. That's confirmation. God spoke to you in a dream that you should buy, that I'm going to buy a diamond, so I should buy the diamond. Okay. You're not laughing, it's okay. So this is how it was, okay, with Joseph and Mary, all right? God spoke to them separately, okay? And then when they conferred, you know, it's confirmation. I mean, you know, I was in the Philippines for 24 years. I went through a very difficult economic situation there when the Asian crisis in 97, right? And when that happened, okay, our business just, you know, crashed, all right? And not only was the business environment bad, the political situation was even worse. All right, the Filipinos were impeaching their president. At that time was President Arap, and they were, after 2 years as president, they were going to impeach him. And so everything was not doing right. And my wife was saying, you know what? Since nothing is going, everything is going wrong here, nothing is, you know, you can't do much work here, why don't we go home? All right, so we decided, okay, you know, long story short, okay, it's a long testimony, a long story short. I said, okay, and I got a call, and so I was negotiating to come back, okay. And so one night I came back home, and then the phone rang. And on the phone was Pastor Hong Seng from FGT Church. He says, Mopo Seng, you know what? I've been praying for you. It seems like God is not finished with you in the Philippines. You know, destiny is not over yet. You know, I think you should stay where you are. Huh? I said, stay where I am. I remarked, stay where you are. And my wife, who was beside me, heard, stay where you are. And she was like, ooh. You know, because a week earlier, while she was doing a devotion in the living room, she heard the voice of God say, stay where you are. But because she was happy to come home, she dare not tell me. Okay? So, but when Pastor Hong Seng called and then she heard it, you know what? That's the connection. Okay? So God knows how to bring confirmation to His Word. Right? He spoke to Joseph in a dream. He spoke to Mary through an angel. Okay? And that brought confirmation. And you find that, you know, when you know the truth, you obey. Alright, so as disciples, we need to do that. Alright, so, verse 36, as we move on, the Bible says, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is John the Baptist. And this is the 6 months. She's already 6 months pregnant with him. And she was called barren, meaning she wasn't actually going to be able to give birth. But God was able to open up a womb. And she's now 6 months pregnant. And the Bible says that for nothing will be impossible with God. And you find that God was just really encouraging Mary, okay? You know, don't think that this is just something, some story that you're listening. In fact, this is truth. Because nothing's impossible with God. I'll make that happen. You're going to be pregnant, okay, with Jesus because of the Holy Spirit, not because of Joseph, all right? And so verse 38, as I end, Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So she just obeyed. You know, so if you look at this, it wasn't a walk in the park for Joseph and Mary. When Christ was about to come into the earth, was about to come down to save us, so to speak, it was difficult for Joseph and Mary. But there was not only just the struggle on earth. You find that even in the heavens, all right, in the heavens there was a struggle. Okay, because it was a mission of love from God. All right, the Bible says, it's a very famous verse, John 3:16. Everyone knows this, all right? If you do not know it, then read with us. Okay, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life, you know. This is one of them, probably the best Christmas verse that you can get. God so loved the world. So God so loved us that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then John 17 verse 3 says this, and this is eternal life. So what is eternal life? This is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You sent. You know, knowing someone during good times is always easy. All right, when we celebrate, we sit down, we have fun, we're always good, you know, things are doing well and all that. But it's very hard to know someone when they are in pain. You know, I had in the Philippines, I have a very good friend, a lawyer couple, both of them are lawyers, and they lost their daughter to dengue. And we were at the hospital with them, and when she died, you know, we just cannot feel the pain that they have. You know, and it's kind of like what it is in heaven, right? It's kind of like what it is in heaven on Christmas Day itself, right? God is about to send His Son down to earth. And I think there's a conversation in heaven. Okay, God the Father is there and He's talking to His Son Jesus. You know, Jesus, you're going to go down there and save my people, all right? And when you get down there, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to face pain. You're going to experience pain. You're going to experience humiliation. They're not going to believe you. You're going to suffer down there. And worst of all, you're going to die for them. Do you know how much pain there is for a parent to do that? You know, I just tell you, just for us, you know, my youngest daughter plays competitive tennis. High school from year 12, and she was 12 years old until she finished high school at 18, all right? She played in the Philippines. She was ranked, highest ranked in under 16 was 11 for her in Philippines. And when she was under 18, she was ranked 16, you know. And so she plays competitive tennis. When she was 12 years old, her tennis bag is almost as tall as her, you know. And the thing is that, as a parent, when you see your kids go and play tennis, you know what happens? When they walk into the court, you cannot coach. They are on their own. And sometimes, you know, me and my wife, and then we see, you know, this girl, you know, and she was under 12. She goes in there and play, and that girl is like 1.5 times the size. And we say, that girl must be cheating on her age. She cannot be 12 years old. She's like huge, you know. And the thing is, as a parent, you know, sometimes it's so painful because your child is fighting in there on her own, and there's no way for you to intervene. You're not going to go in and coach and do this and that thing. And that's kind of like what God the Father is. All right, He's right in heaven, and He sees a world that needs to be saved. All right, and He's talking to His Son Jesus and says, "You know what? You got to go down there and fulfill this mission." And He knows that when He sent Him down there, His Son is going to suffer. He could just be in heaven and enjoy the benefits of heaven. But no, He knew that the only person that could solve the problem of sin is Jesus. All right? While God uses people to solve a lot of people's problems, all right? Even for the birth of Jesus itself, He used Mary, He used people. God uses us in many things. All right? But for the problem of sin, no human can solve it. No matter how clever you are, how holy you think you are, how good you think you are, how much money you give to charity, whatever that you do, you cannot solve the problem of sin. Only Jesus can solve the problem. So He had to go down. And so God the Father painfully releases Him down. You know, that Jesus will one day step out of heaven. You know, so on Christmas Day, He steps out of heaven to fulfill this mission. Basically, in Matthew 1:21, all right, when the angel was talking to Joseph, he said that your wife, basically she, will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. You know, the problem of sin is so prevalent, you know, you can just look around, all right. The problem of sin, you know, if you go into immorality, what happens, you know? Families get broken, marriages get broken, children suffer, children go depressed, they never experience love, they steal, they go into drugs, all right? People will get addicted into gambling, they lose the whole family's fortune, you know? All these things happen really because of sin. And God has come down to fix that for us, all right? And so as I just finish off, okay, there are just three things I just want to wrap up. Okay, it's more to Christmas. Okay, it's really more for all of us. Okay, to do something good. All right, because God uses His people for His purpose. How many of you believe that? God will use you. All right, if you believe that you are weak, or rather you believe that you have weaknesses, not that you are weak, if you believe that you have weaknesses and you need God in your life, then you are a good candidate for God to use. All right. Because God can't use a guy who thinks that he can solve the world. Alright? A guy who comes out and says, you know what, never mind, I think I can do it. A guy like that, God can't use. Okay? But if you feel like you have weaknesses, but yet you need God in your life, God is going to use you. Alright? And Mary and Joseph, their significance was not in how much wealth they had, whether they came from a pedigree family and all that. Their only significance in their life was that they knew Jesus. And the Bible says that the Lord was with him, with her. You know, it's just the relationship that Mary had with Jesus gave her the significance. Okay, so God will one day ask us to do something. Right. He's going to use us. And one day he might ask you to say, you know what? You know that boss that you really hate, that boss that you despise? You know, just go and share the love of God to him. Just go and tell that guy that God loves you just as much as he loves me. You know, or maybe there's somebody that we have hurt. Maybe we have offended our parents or something. You know, God is telling you, you know what? Just go, ask for forgiveness and reconcile. And demonstrate the God of love, the love of God. So God's going to use us somewhere. I don't know what, but certainly God's going to use us. All right. And so the second thing there is that God empowers his people. You know what he said? God says, for nothing is impossible. Everybody say, nothing is impossible with God. All right. All we need to do is to make ourselves available. If you make yourselves available to God, God will do the rest. You know, because if God sends you on a mission, he will finish it. You know, even if you don't finish it, he'll finish it somehow. Alright? And so God empowers us to do things. And lastly, God demands obedience. You know, the only way to be able to obey God is when we understand his word. We understand the truth of what the Bible tells us. Okay, so there's power in his word itself. And so I really want to encourage you to really read the Bible. Don't just read a devotional book, okay, and spend the whole day just reading one verse, alright? You know, read the whole book. Read the book of John, you know. Find out what love is from John, alright? Read about Genesis, you know. Find out how God created the heavens and the earth. It's amazing, you know. How God talks about, you know, creating Adam and then putting him in a garden, you know. Do you know the Garden of Eden? You know Garden of Eden looks like what? I can tell you it looks like what? It looks like one Utama mall. If you read the Bible, okay, God says he put him in a garden to work it and to tend to it, right? And that he can eat of everything. You know, it's just like you live in one Utama mall. God says, I put you there, you live there for free. Anything that you want to go and watch movie? Nice movie houses there. You want to have a massage? Thai Odyssey is there. You know, you want to have cookies? Plenty of shops there for you, cookies. You want to do anything, you can go. But in that place, right in the middle where they do all the exhibitions and all that, there's one little candy store. Okay? That candy store, don't eat from it, because if you eat of it, you will die. That's what the Bible says. You read the Bible, you know, it's interesting. You know. So instead, you know, God gave us the free will to choose. If you read the Genesis, God, one of the most powerful gifts God gave us is the free will to choose. You choose what you want. You want to choose all the things that I've given you, or you just want to go to that candy store that you shouldn't touch. You know, there's always a choice in life. Alright, so, read the Bible. I already encourage you. Many of you who are very young, you know, go out and touch a life. You know, some of you, in fact, a lot of you are here from Sharing Lives. How many of you are here from Sharing Lives? From Hao Chun's place, from Jenny and all this, who have been going out their way, you know, to reach out to people, to show the love of God. And it's really what it is for us. Christmas is like that, you know. God step out of heaven, be out of love for us. You know, and we can take that step of faith to step out and show love to others. Okay? And so, there is power in His Word, and there's power in the Word of our testimony. Okay? Well, God's Word is powerful. He also said that your testimony, how He has touched your life, how your life is transformed, that is equally powerful. Okay? So with that, we're going to have three guys come up. Okay? We're going to have three guys come up, and we're going to interview them. Are you excited for that? Yeah. Alright. Can I have Kareen? Kareen, please step up. Minho. And Dato P, come. The chairs are all ready here for you. My gosh, they're all so efficient. Alright. So you're number one. The ladies always first. The ladies always first. Oh, where's my phone? Is that my phone there? Did I keep my phone? I was sitting here, my phone. Okay. Thank you. First service, that's why. Because all the questions are in my phone. You know, nowadays, you can't live without your phone. All right, so you guys excited?
Yes, very.
Very excited? Okay, wow. You know, we're going to do this. I just have to get myself in shape. All right, so we have Kareen here. Kareen is a professional accountant, a wonderful mother and wife. Wilson, just stand up. You know, Wilson is the handsome husband of Kareen. You know, he's right here supporting the wife, you know. Aiden, right? Your kid. And she works. She takes care of the home. She loves her husband. She also serves so much in church. You know, we are so thankful and grateful for all the service that Kareen does for all of us. You know, there's so many things that we've just the birth of this church itself. You know, she's been instrumental in serving in so many capacities: host, usher, food. You know, she takes initiative to text everybody and get things all in order. You know, just an amazing lady. But we're gonna see what God has done for her. I think she's gonna share a little bit later. And then Minho, you know, I've just known Minho for what, maybe 3 months, all right? But he has an amazing story. Minho is a biochemist, you know. And by the way, Minho is from UM, so UM is just across the road. You know, we have ambitions to reach out to the students there. So you need to help us, you know. Minho is a biochemist, but he's also a banker. So that's a good combination. So he's going to tell us a little bit of his encounter with God. And Dato P, you know, Dato P and I, we were colleagues a long time ago. All right. I think he's got a lot to share. He in fact prepared like 20 slides. And I told him it's too much. It's longer than my message. It cannot be. You know, so I said, no way you can do that. I said, I only got 11 slides, you got 20 slides. No, cut. So I told him, you can only have your pictures up there, no more text, okay? But, yeah, so, let's start off with Kareen, alright? Kareen, if there's one thing that you could remember about Christmas before Jesus came into your life, you know, what would that be?
Okay, I'm Kareen. I want to thank Pastor Bo Seng for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep. And, okay, I'm a mother of two, as you can see from this picture. That's my parents, my beautiful parents, my dad. I grew up very close to my daddy. And this is my husband's family. They are wonderful, wonderful people. And this is actually an evolution of me being a mother of two. So, before Jesus came into my life, Christmas is just like a holiday and also a time for me to ask my husband what are the gifts that I want. So this cross is actually last year's Christmas.
Wow. Yeah. So you didn't say God spoke to me. Yeah.
So I'm glad that it was actually a surprise one because he was hesitant to actually get me that. But thank you, Papa. Okay, so after Jesus came into my life, as in since Jesus came into my life, Christmas has been so different, and I slowly comprehend the meaning of the true meaning of Jesus. And also, I wanted to share a very quick story about Christmas tree. So, if you see Christmas tree, Yeah, it's evergreen. The evergreen actually means Jesus is actually our tree of life. And there's a light around the Christmas tree, which means Jesus is the light into this world. And you will see every time people will put an angel or star on top of the Christmas, that actually means God sends the angel Gabriel to send the message to the poor shepherd when they are working very hard in the cold night. So this Christmas tree actually translates to my story about I've been through a lot of life struggle, and I thank God for the salvation. I thank God that I'm a sinner and He forgave me and He died for me so that I'm alive today. I thank God because of He sent many, many angels like Gabriel to tell me how I handle situation and circumstances when I was feeling very depressed. I thank Jesus so much because He used me to build back my relationship with my parents and so my brother. I thank God so much because He sent so many angels, and thank God for the church, thank God for the pastor, thank God for all my life group leaders for teaching me about the love, the fruit of love, the fruit of patience, the fruit of forgiveness, the fruit of many, many things that Jesus has. I mean, I just want to take this opportunity to thank the people around me that pray for me, because I have learned so much from you guys. Wow. Thank you. So Christmas means so much to me now.
Wow. So that being the case, all right, our second question was, how was it like in your life that led you to meet Jesus? And, you know, just before you met Him, how was it like? And then, you know, what has changed that made your outlook towards your life different today?
Okay, so you see, I'm a mother of two. I don't have a very good memory, but what has happened in 2016 was still so remarkable in my heart and my mind. So in 2016, I was facing many, many life problems, including my family, the relationship, my work matters, and also my mental health, well-being. And having had to spend so much efforts, so much time, so much energy about it, I mean, honestly, it was the lowest point in my life. And I still remember 2016 was the year that I decided to take a career break. And I'm very glad that Wilson is supportive about that. And in 2016 itself, it was also my brother keep on asking me for money. So it started off like with a few hundred, turned into a few thousand. And then while I'm taking a career break, I remember so clearly that he threatened me to pay a lump sum to the loan shark. And that kind of threatening, like he threatened to actually commit suicide. So it was so much of anger, so much of frustration, and so much of that unfair questions to. But before that, I wasn't a believer yet, so started to question God. I mean, why this happened to me? Like, I know my parents wasn't able to actually help him financially. And being the only being the only sister, and I actually had a sister who passed away when she was 8 years old. So the feeling of being a mother, don't want my parents to lose my brother. So at that point of time, I discussed with my husband, and we decided to refinance my parents' house to just pay off about 200,000 to 300,000.
Wow.
So you thought that, oh, okay, after paying off a lump sum, you thought that he would change. Because no matter how, he is our brother. So the lesson learned is, no, don't pay. Don't pay, because the gambling habit continues until like 2-3 months later, my contacts actually called me and said that, oh, he started owing people 50,000. So I was like so angry, so frustrated. And I actually gathered a group of good friends and also my brother's good friends to see whether how we can convince him. And I wanted to tell you guys that a gambler will never say the truth. He will just use whatever reason to just deceive you. So if anyone who faced this kind of situation can always feel free to look for me, I'm actually very willing to help you up because I have a circle of friends who is able to actually send them to your rehab. Mm-hmm. And God is so good that He arranged someone to connect me to this rehab center. Mm-hmm. And I still remember there was Raya in July 2016. I quickly called up this person and this pastor actually arranged me to meet up a group of ex-gamblers. And this group of ex-gamblers were already being saved by God.
Wow.
And they shared about their story. They shared about how God helped them, how they spent time in the rehab.
Wow.
And I went there with my father in McDonald, Georgetown. I mean, it was so remarkable. And then I managed to convince my brother to go and meet this friend of mine. His name is Zandon. He is the one who introduced Jesus to me. So I was so happy that when my brother agreed to actually join the rehab for 6 months in Johor, and now he's staying in KL. And then because he helped me so much at the lowest point in my life, I thought I just want to thank him. I keep on thanking him. And you know what he said? He said, "Don't thank me, because I'm a God's servant to serve you." So, I mean, that really inspired me.
Wow.
And likewise, when I see a group of church people here, I see the heart. So, I mean, when I managed to like arrange him to the rehab, so the first thing I came back to KL is I asked my Christian friend which church I should be attending. And 31st July 2016 is actually the first day I stepped into Every Nation, and it's also the first day I accepted Jesus as my Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord for that, because Pastor Noah, I mean, I have the great opportunity to, I mean, I still remember that moment. It's like I stepped into a church where I sit, and when they play the worship songs, they play this, My Good Father, it's like I really cried because it's so touched. Because at this kind of situation, when you know that your parents is quite helpless, and only God can help me, and I still remember a lot of people was waiting to queue to be prayed by Pastor Noah, because he is someone very significant to pray for people for miracle. Then I remember I met a friend, so this I told her that I think the other people needs prayer more than me, because I just want to pray for my brother. I said, no, you just go ahead. And I still remember Pastor Noah asked me, so what do you want to pray for? I said, just tell him that I know God arranged all this thing to happen. I just want to pray for my brother, and I just want to pray for my family unity. And he make it in such a way that it is a salvation. And he asked me whether I want to accept Lord, and I said yes.
Wow.
And everyone is cheering for me. I still remember that moment. And that was 2016. And 2017, I was also having a lot of struggle at work, handling different projects. And that was a time my brother completed his rehab. And my dad actually asked whether can he stay with me. And I still remember I consulted Pastor Joseph. Is Pastor Joseph still here?
I think he left already.
Yeah. So he actually shared that no, because the connection of this loan shark is very, very wide.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a difficult decision to make, because it is a request from my dad. So I want to just thank God, because of God, he has this church, he has these people to help my brother.
Wow.
And my brother is doing fine now. He managed to find a job that he can work. And I just want to glorify God on that.
All right, good.
And in 2018, I just want to share very quickly on the work struggle that I had.
You have a photo on
I
this
have, one. Yeah. So, yeah. So this photo is, the right side is actually my brother. So he sent this to me like in October. I mean, praise God. When I see this picture, you don't know how much it means to me. It's just priceless. Because I see that he's growing well. He's no longer caught into that gambling cycle. Mm-hmm. And I mean, today I just want to thank many, many people, including pastors, including Pastor Timothy, Hao Chun, Celine, Kokin, Nian Yi, Jenny. Jenny is my mentor. When I face struggle at my workplace, Jenny always asks me to be the peacemaker. This is the best gift I have this year. I managed to tell someone who condemned me so badly, and I invited her to come to the blessed party.
Wow.
To just tell her that God loves everyone, and because God first loved us, wow, and God asks us to love our neighbor.
That's good.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. Right. Good. Wow. Are you blessed with that?
Yeah.
God's amazing, right? God has it all planned for you, Karine. Every step of the way. Thank you, Lord. Indeed. So, Minho. So we have Minho. You know, if you recall October 22nd, right? We met that day. You texted me. And yet you needed to talk, really. And what was going through your mind at that time?
Thanks, Kosing. Before I answer your questions, I just want to talk a bit on my shirt first today.
Okay.
Right. Okay, this is a gift. A gift from my first girlfriend.
Really?
For my university graduation in 2006. And then this girl actually is in the picture.
Ex-girlfriend.
First girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, and she's here also tonight.
Can you stand up, Shani?
Yeah, my wife. All right. Okay. I back to posing questions. What happens on 22nd of October? Basically, I'm so urgently looking for posing. The reason why actually I look for posing, because actually I have been trapped in the negative emotion for quite a long time. I think almost 2 years. In these 2 years times, right, basically I was nervous, and then I'm anxious about losing my job, and then also actually I'm also afraid of other people do me. So basically I try everything, try to escape or actually try to resolve the problem. So everything actually I tried, but unfortunately everything also failed. Even though actually I go and do something actually I like to, or actually I love to, those sports, and then actually talk to people, talk to my wife, talk to friends, or try to do something, but unfortunately nothing worked. All right, then I have been trapped in this emotion, and then I can't run away. You know, it seems like actually there's no way for me to go out. Right, so it's enough. Right? I mean, then actually I want to put a full stop over there. So the full stop over there, then actually I only have two choice lah. I mean, either actually I come to posing, if this is my last resource, or actually over here is 27, right? Yeah. All right. So over here actually I want to advise everyone is that if let's say you are a struggle, or you know someone actually who is having a problem or depression, right? Okay. Raise your hand, you know. Raise your hand. Ask for help. Yeah, this is the one thing actually I did. I take my initiative. Actually, I take the steps. I go and ask someone, I need help. Can you help me or not? Yeah. And this person basically, I mean, we never, it's coming from sharing life. Alright? Yeah. So this person basically is Jenny. Yeah. Jenny is the first person actually I step forward and then I ask for help from her. Oh. Then she is the one who introduced me to Bo Seng. And actually he pulled a lot of those positive energy person to me. Alright? Of course, how actually I can come to this living life, right? So basically it's because my wife also, because my wife, he can't do anything, then actually he shared my condition or actually my case to the one of our friends, Fifi. So Fifi asked us, why don't actually you come to this sharing life? So since actually there's no way out, why don't we have a try? Then in August, so actually I attended this sharing life only for one session. Yeah. Mm. Right. So then the September one, we can't make it. Reason being, we went out overseas.
Okay.
Even overseas trips for 2 weeks, it doesn't solve my problem also. Yeah, then actually the negative emotion still there, you know. No matter what you do, what you did, you just can't run away from there. There's a lot of the voices inside your mind, inside your heart. Yeah. Right?
So in that sense, when you came to know Jesus and you realized how much He loved you, you know, what happened then?
Alright, the night actually I met Bo Seng on 22nd of October, so that is the night whereby actually I accepted Christ. Yeah. In a cafe, alright. So, immediately after the, basically what Bo Seng did, he just did a salvation prayer for me. Alright. So, after that, immediately he asked us, do you feel anything? Then I answer, nothing. Alright. So then we left. So I'm on my way back. So in front of the traffic lights, then actually I felt, oh, something happened. I felt peace. I felt released. Then this feeling actually has not come to me for quite a long time. That's why immediately I can feel it already. So I can feel, how come I'm so peace now? Maybe actually those negative things actually is never. What you call mingling, never disturbing me anymore.
Wow.
Right. So then my wife is the first one who noticed about it, because immediately I was at home, then actually she noticed, wow, what happens to you? Then actually you are so calm at it now, after meeting with Bo Seng. Right. So the next day when I go back, walk into the office. So basically, nothing changed. People still the same, environment still the same, but one thing changed. I changed. I am no longer in the emotion.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really the emotion. Yeah. It's really that actually I'm in peace, you know. I can feel the peace. Even though no matter actually how the environment is, basically you are not disrupted or you are not disturbed. Yeah. So it seems like you let it go, or actually you don't bother it anymore. It doesn't disturb you anymore. Yeah. So after that, Bo Seng text me asking me to send my resume to him. Yeah, because my root cause basically is coming from the workplace, right? So but I told him that actually no need. Yeah, reason being, HR just informed me that my transfer department approved. Yeah, maybe actually I don't. It just a minute before actually Bo Seng texted me. Yeah, maybe actually I will be changing into another department. Yeah, so maybe actually it's really what we call God is really powerful. You know, something that actually you can't resolve it, you can't encounter it, you can't overcome it. So just a miracle prayer over there, then everything just gone, you know. If you ask me how is the feeling like, right, it's just like The moment actually I stop in front of the traffic light, it's just like all your sins actually is cleansed away.
Wow.
Yeah. All the dirty actually is just cleansed away. Then you found the peace, you found the calm inside your heart. Yeah. So then subsequent day, basically I was outside for the outdoor activities, right? So I noticed I can hear the what we call the bird sound, the wind sound.
Wow.
Whereby actually it has been long time never been with me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. That's my experience. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Amazing. Oh, you have it. Amazing, you know. Yeah, it was an amazing experience for me also. I mean, when I met Min Ho, he was really in a depressed situation. You know, I mean, what can you talk to a guy who is depressed, you know, except to share to him the love of Christ. I mean, basically, Jesus died for him as well. Jesus came down, you know, and died for all of us. You know, and basically, just a prayer to God, basically released everything from him. Right? Thank you, Lord. So, Dato, we've been friends for a long time.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Very long.
So what are you going to say about us?
Actually, although we were, you know, in Hong Leong, right? We were all in the head office, but I didn't get to notice him until when we were in the Philippines, right? So I went over to Philippines to start, you know, a division, and he was already there. So, you know, in Hong Leong, we have the drinking culture, right? Drinking culture. Even in my interview, they say, you can drink or not? No. Interview, you know, can drink or not? I don't know, they'll play the fool with me or not. You know. So anyway, that's where I noticed posing, because, you know, after the whole day's work, we'll go for dinner. After dinner, then we have second half, right? So he.
What is second half?
Second half is like karaoke, nightclub, and all that lah. Right, So then, posing, I think that he was number two man there, right? So he has a boss called Mickey, right? So then I also got a boss. So after that, after dinner, we go second half, and then I find that this joker, dare to say no, you know, to his boss. So his boss, hey, come, let's go second half. I say, oh, sorry, I don't want to go. I say, oh, this fellow, tamo cari makan ni lah, this one. Oh, kam tai tama ni tu ya. Myself, also got to go this bargain, no need to go. I say, oh, very fierce. That's how, you know, I notice him lah. Right, So, but anyway, in Hong Leong, I think, you know, our culture there is I'm saying and that thing. So, and I was really, very engrossed in those, you know, like Lover said, you know, Pak in Pak San, you know. For us, we go to the karaoke, no mabok, no go home, you know. So that's we, that's us, right?
Yeah. But not for me,
he's a different fellow, no, so. We don't know what to say, lah. No, got BG or what? So I don't know. Say, oh, don't carry makan. I don't know what to say, right? But then to me, I said, I cannot, lah. No. But actually, you know, what he did was correct, lah. You know, what he did was correct.
So just tell us quickly. I mean, actually, I asked him. I gave him these questions earlier. I asked him to give you a flavor of how it is like, you know, in the world when we walk in before, you know. So question two is just as very quickly. How did you get introduced to Christianity? How did you meet the Lord?
Okay, actually it's a very, you know, very special, you know. You see now, for the first 60 years of my life, you know, I was a Buddhist, you know. So, this is my family, by the way, you know, I'm already a grandfather.
Wow.
Right? I have two grandchildren. The one is my daughter and my son. My daughter and my son. So, you know, for the first 60 years of my life, you know, I've been a Buddhist, you know. So, I mean, despite the fact that I was also very naughty, you know, but then I was also quite a good Buddhist, you know, practicing Buddhist, still got to say a little bit of bad words, you know. But then in my industry, I don't say bad words, no, nobody respect you. You know? Start when you say that, so many people do me already, Master still here, do, you do me, I do you, you know. See who can last longer, this Hao Chun, correct, Hao Chun. You do me, I do you, Ex-gangster, you know what? This is nothing new, you know. My son no gangster, so I know. You do me, I do you. Anyway, so in my industry, it's like that one, right now. So, naughty, but I still do a lot of things, right now. So, over the past 60 years, right. So, I did, Can you show some slide right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. So you see, I was the vice president of Tiratana. No, play, you know. I see the Reverend Ratana, I know, looking for me. So I started also the women shelter home for the physically, sexually, and psychologically abused women, where I provide temporary refuge and nothing like. Okay, quickly, right, let's go. Right. So then, what do you call it? I also give counseling, right now. Just now, Po Seng, I was so patient with him. Myself, I said 27, I go, lah. You know? But the little boy, boy sang, but try hard, lah, right now. So I don't think he was there, lah. Right now, Po Seng very patient, myself go, lah. Right, so anyway, so, you know, for all my work, I was also recognized as the outstanding, lion, right now. So, Sama Jalan, right. So these are things that I did, you know, when I was, in Tiratana, right now. A lot of things, and this is a story where this lady wanted to commit suicide, right? But no, I didn't ask her to jump. she got impregnated. So I said, the best revenge is to give birth to the baby and don't give the idiot an opportunity not to hear father. So this lady listened to me. No, that time I was not very clever. So after that, they gave birth. Hey, don't go so fast. Steady. Who's that? Steady. So after that, he gave birth to this baby. Chinese, I don't know how to read lah, right now. But people translate, say, hey, appreciate me lah, right now. So I said, appreciate, name the baby after my surname lah. So cannot. I said, cannot, beside. No. Anyway, I think she's a very successful woman, beautician lah. Right, next one. Okay, even MCA, this fellow, Michael Chong, got to come to me. Can you imagine? Michael Chong, IPPB, dolong, help. So send all his cases to me, right? Because I have the woman shelter, a woman shelter home, I've got children's home, I've got old folks home. Jalan. So okay, now this story, never mind. So we go to the now I'm the chairman of human trafficking. But then, I know, 17 years ago, Renat, 17 years ago, I don't know what's human trafficking. Go to one slide, the girl slide, got
Yeah. No more.
Go. Huh? No more, Ria? No more? Sure do you. Anyway, right. You know, 17 years ago, right now, so I went to China. So there was this knock on the door, right now. This knock on the door. And then, so I opened it a bit. This guy said, you want woman or not? I said, I don't want woman. Why should I pay for sex? I got, you look at my face. Do I need to pay for sex? Woman, pai toy, man. Steady or not. Right. So, I said, don't want. But then, no, there's this nudge, you know. Until today, I never talk about God, because I'm a Buddhist, I was a Buddhist. So, somehow there's this nudge to say, have a look, right? So then I opened the door bigger, and then I saw this girl, no more than 5 feet 2 like that, very, very scared at the lift car. So then, I said, okay, come. So I held the girl's hand like that, and the girl, throw her hand, then this guy want to beat the girl. I said, don't beat, right? So I said, go inside. Then I bargain, how much, right? Then after that, I said, go downstairs and wait for me. Right? So I asked the girl, why you behave like that? Then the girl said, I don't want to do your business. They said, then why don't you run away? He said, I cannot be beaten. So she lifted her skirt. The whole tie was black, I said, what's this? He said, who tie ta de? No. So I said, how many you who tie ta wo? Taman pi yu water, right? My heart also dropped, right? So then I said, okay, why don't you escape? You want to escape? Where is the house? He said, Henyang. That time my geography of China was very bad, right? So I said, I don't know, where? He said, 2天2夜, 要坐大船, 要坐, 火车, 要坐这个, 大巴士, right? So I said, 多少钱要回去? He said, 两三百块. So I gave her 1,000, right? 1,000 RMB. I said, okay, help you to escape. Then I went to my friend's room, right? Now, this is a few, because 5 of us went to China to look at a factory, right? It was all paid trip, to look at operational management excellence of a factory. So I went over to my friend's place because at that time I cannot speak Mandarin. So I said, Chan, Pong Ha Sao, there's a girl in my room, He said, Lim Kyu Kai, get him, yo, for you. For me, you're loyal. I said, Tango Gong Sing, steady, right now. So I said, you go loyal, pin, pick little Kai, right now. He said, Kwan, what a mess. I said, Kwan, no more, yes, you get a cow here. Mong, he said, Chun Sai Kai, come to Kai, they call the Kito. So I said, hello friend, can you imagine that is your daughter? I said, go, right now. So after that, you know, I asked him to help arrange, you know, a taxi, 4 a.m. in the morning, so that the girl can go to the port, and from the port, you know, go to China, go back to mainland, right? So then in the meantime, so the girl slept with me, right now, slept with me. So then after that, I didn't do anything, by the way. So the girl slept with me, right now, and then, so then I also talked to her about education and that thing, right? So then after that, you know, so I said, when you go back, right now, when you reach home, is that Friday? So I said, okay, we'll telephone you lah. So then after that, when she went back to, her hometown, right now, on that Friday night, right? Then, the next day, the PIM came to look for her, you know. So my friend said, hey, tomorrow, how are you going to tell the PIM? I said, never mind lah, come to the bridge early cross lah. Right now. So I really got zero answer, you know, zero, you know. But then the next morning, you know, when she left already, the PIM came lah. Boy, I tell you, God, now first time talk God.
Okay.
The time I didn't know God lah, I thought my own side very clever lah, right now. So, really God came in, no, right now. I play aggressive role. I catch back the joker's hand, I say, hey, your girl stole my money and ran away, you know. So, let's go and make police report. Who was it? Hey, I never saw him ever again. So actually, God, you know, can do the impossible. Just the ask now, Luke 1:37.
Wow.
God can do the impossible. And true, I sidetracked a little bit. Actually, you know, the latest miracle that happened to me was in Israel. You know, if you know this guy, stand up, please. You know, Johnny. My roommate, right? So when I was supposed to pair with him to sleep together with him for 10 days, I so grateful. You know, if any of you have been to this Every Nation Church, this is the guy that, you know, do the video. Carry all the band, So to me, it looked very untidy, you know. So I said, how am I going to sleep with this joker for 10 days? Right now. So I asked Sharon, I said, can go single room? So I said, single room, also must pay for him, no? I look at him, put. Pay for you, single room in Israel. So, but anyway, right now, throughout the 10 days, God tamed me, you know. God tamed me, no. And this guy is so good, he's so tidy, you know. He doesn't look like what he is, you know. He's very tidy, you know. And then he's very loving, you know. Every morning, every night, clean my thermos flask, you know, boil water for me to drink, you know.
Wow.
Very good, he's very good, actually, you know. So I was very surprised, you know, right now. And of course, this first snoring is no joke. No. So, you know, and then he also considerate. He pulled his bed far, far away, you know. So I said, hey, use your common sense. You graduate. The sound travel everywhere. La, you pull 1 mile away, still I can hear. La. So then after that, what I did, I turned on the TV and sleep. Right, and then I learned to sleep. La, right now. And then eventually for 10 days, I learned to love him. No. So on that day when we came back, I offered him a lift. You remember that? So of course I miss him in the airport. I truly miss him. No, I said, this guy, I love him. No. Don't know why, no. So I said, hey, Johnny, I said, you got transport to go back. No, you go in my car, I got a driver to come and fetch me. He said, no, I'm going with Cindy. Cindy dated him. Yeah. So Cindy dated him and took him home to the mother-in-law's house or something like that. I don't know who's mother-in-law, her mother-in-law, your mother-in-law, I don't know. So in China, alright. So anyway, God worked in miracles. Alright. So therefore, moving forward. So I sent her to college. After sending her to college, I sent her to university. And then actually there's no picture. Otherwise, you know, you will see, right now, she, in God's purpose, you can transform a person's life, you know. You see, yes, now, in the ending of closing, three things. God, I know, have a purpose in you. Right? God, I know, empowers you. God demands your, you know, obedience. These three are very real, you know. It applies to me. It's a true reflection inside me, right? Because I'm the CEO, right now. So, God put me where I am because God have a reason. We can change people's life, you know. We can change people's life. So, therefore, today, when I'm the chairman of human trafficking, I understand, 17 years ago, you know, that was called human trafficking. No, that was called human trafficking. So, for all intent and purpose, whatever we do, is through God. God has his what do you call that? Has his purpose, and then we must believe in God.
But the question was, how did you meet Jesus? You ended up...
Oh yeah, talk, talk, talk.
From that to that, the question, how did you meet Jesus?
Okay, okay, okay.
You got 2 minutes left.
So, I
was... 2 minutes left.
Hey, you don't listen now. Don't listen now. The door open. What other one? What other one? What is that? Hey, okay. Hey, sorry, I win. All right. So, So, I was conned to go to church.
Ah.
Serious. God work in miracles. God work in miracles. Right? Those days, when you come and talk to me about Jesus, 5 minutes, you talk to Jesus, I say, oh, enough, enough. I talk to you Buddhism. I talk 2 hours, no, you cannot finish. So anyway, I was asked to go and listen, look at the musical by this lady. I tell you, I love this lady. Ellie, and it was many, many years ago, right? So in that, I was assured that no God, no Jesus inside this show, correct or not? So it's all about unconditional love. Unconditional love, and then about trust, and about faith. So after the show, I sat there and said, true also, actually, you know, unconditional love. I mean, when your brother needs a kidney, right, would you immediately say, brother, I give you? Or would you say, hey, hello, let me see now, eh? Fair enough. True or not? If your sister needs a kidney, I say, hey, sister, let me see now, eh? Oh, no more. I don't want to give, right? So all this, actually, I said, true, you know. But if it is your daughter or your son needs a kidney, say, I take mine. Hey, so why is there, you know, this conditional love? Right? But no, then after that, then slowly we talk about God, right? And then after that, Pastor Tim, right, says that, okay, the next few series, just like now, I said, next few series got faith, right? So this one is end of time. So myself, as a technical man, I said, I want to see how we all die, right? Let's go and listen to this one. So one leads to another until one day, right now, one day, so this gentleman came and said, Mr. P, can I pray with you? So then I said, sure, pray lah. Right now, so he held my hand, you know, and then he started praying. You know. So as he was praying, right now, I started to cry, you know. In church, you know, standing right in front. So then I said, hey, malu lah, you know. In front, crying, you know. What is this man, right? Because money I have, position I have, everything also I have. What's that to cry, you know? So I quickly want to take away my hand, no? This fellow and me same size lah, and I believe I'm stronger lah. But cannot, no, like neck ah. Wow, I got to last 10 minutes crying there, no? Immediately, he let go, I chabot, right now. So I chabot, I drove my car, right now. I stay in Bukit Jelung Sha Alam. Go home lah, malu already, quickly go home lah. I drive right there, end up in Taman Tun, no. Then I say, hey, what am I doing in Taman Tun? Right now, wake up. So I jalan again. Then I end up in USJ 17, now you ask me to go, I don't know how to go. But then I say, hey, end up there. I say, what is this? Then I call a friend. He said, God touch you. Oh, God touched me. Then anyway, never mind. So then, okay lah. Then I started to go to church. And then as I go to church, then I think when I reflect back, you know, all the things that I did, you know, when I was a vice president of Tirata, is because God sent the Holy Spirit, right, to me, to help me. And then, whatever we do, sometimes, you know, we have God's nudge, you know. God will push you to do certain things. And then, a lot of things, those days I did very successfully, I thought it's my own intellect. No. So as I started to read all the books, I know it is God, no, making use of you as an instrument. Because no, God has called many, but only a few are chosen, right? And then for you to be chosen, you need to have spiritual ears, no. Just like as now you said, oh, diamond, right? You can have the spiritual, yeah. You can have the spiritual, So actually, you must have the spiritual ears, right? And then now I begin to believe that I have been chosen for a long, long time, but I just didn't realize, you know. So I messed up my life, you know, good, when I was a young fella, right? Until my wife kicked me out of the house. Right? So this picture now you saw, my wife not inside. Because I got no wife, law. Gonna kick out already, right? So anyway, right now, so to all these young fellas, right? Don't do the same thing I did, lah. Now the only thing I have is money lah. That's all. Luckily I still got grandchildren, right? So what do you call I think, okay, then the other thing is why I became a Christian is because, so when I started to go to church, I started to see that, you know, these Christian families, they're very cohesive, you know. And I get very jealous, you know. See, they can go out, one family. So after that, then we went for lunch. I look at the way they behave, the way they, you know. So I feel that, hey, if I had been a Christian 40 years ago, I probably would have been more successful. I probably would have a very, united family. So now, those days, when I want to see my children, I will go and ask permission from my ex-wife. Right? She suka-suka let you see. Not suka-suka, they say tomorrow. Right? Hey, tomorrow I got to work. Next weekend, bang. You know. So what do you call, so that's why, after that, I started to realize that I miss all this, cohesiveness, all this lovingness, right? And I wish that, I have this family. And I think only if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in God, you can have this cohesiveness in a family.
Thank you. Come on, let's be great. You know, Datuk, I knew he was very colorful. I knew his life was colorful, but I never knew he was this colorful, you know. So we want to thank our three testifiers, the amazing stories. God praise for that. Thank you very much. So we thank you. So as I close, go to my slide on the. You know, these are amazing stories of how God can transform lives. You know that we hear from Corinne. You know, not as colorful as Dato. You know, we didn't laugh so much, but for her it was painful. You know, regarding her brother, regarding her family, the struggles that she had. You know, but God was faithful. You know, God came in at the right time. God is never too late. You know, He comes in at the right time and He comes in to solve our problems. You know, but really, aside from you know, the problems of sin, really the biggest disaster of all is that, you know, ultimately it's not just the physical death that we will face. Ultimately, it's the separation from God eternally, and that's actually hell. You know, and God wants to save us from that. You know, many times we don't think about things of eternity. We always think about what we have today. You know, Dato is saying is that, you know, when before he knew God, success was making more money, making your boss happy, go out, have a good time. You know, I had my struggles. I mean, before I became president, before I became CEO in Philippines, I was the EVP. So I had a boss. You know, and my boss was just as colorful as Dato. I mean, boy, they loved the party. You know, I shared that before. I preached that before one time in Little Lass. Okay, we will have to go to karaoke every night. I mean, it was like, why can't they just do business over dinner? You know, it has to be over a karaoke. And not only just a simple singing karaoke. You're going to have all the girls everywhere. And then, oh my goodness. You know, but success is not about that. Okay, Dato said, you know, he wished that his success would have been 40 years earlier. He found Christ, that he may have a wholesome family with him. You know, if he had known Christ much earlier, you know, he would have had his marriage intact. He would have had life with his children. And what he misses, as he looked back, he was telling me, you know, when I was talking to him, telling me that what he really missed was the time that he would have his children. You know, when he said, when I look at your kids, when they come to the church and all that, is, you know, it's, it's so wholesome, okay, and I never got to enjoy that, you know. So success is not about just the money, just about what the world describes success. Success is really at the end of the day fulfillment, you know. And God and only Jesus can give us fulfillment. And this basically this last verse that I put up there, all right, Jesus came to save His people from their sins. You know, but when Jesus died on the cross, okay, think about this. When He died on the cross, He died for everyone, all right? Jesus died for all. He died for everybody, okay? He died once for everybody. Okay? But the verse says, He only came to save His people. You know, there are many people who think they don't need God, okay? So only those who needed God would be saved, because only those who needed God are His people. So we're just gonna worship for a while, and then we'll pray, and then we can go. All right, let's just worship God for a moment.